All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13. Now, I'm fully aware of the time, so that's one less thing you have to worry about, all right? I am fully aware that you have to go to work in the morning, and you have to get the kids in bed at a certain time, know all that. It doesn't matter to me, but I do know all that. No, I'm kidding you. I'll let you out in time, I promise. All right, Brother Hendricks, appreciate you driving up here today. Brought Brother Felix with you. Brother Hendricks is the he's the director of the Caribbean ministry. They got a lot of pastors down in the Caribbean that Fundamental Baptist Home Missions is responsible for. And Brother Hendricks and his wife are very gracious to help these fellows get around and get in churches and present their work. And Brother, I appreciate you driving all the way up here. And sorry it's raining on you, but that's about all it does. So we're used to it. We're in the monsoon season here, I think. But anyway, it's good to have you with us tonight. All right, let me read to you just one verse of Scripture. And that's the first verse here. And then I'm going to speak to you tonight about the Philistines. Who are these people? Where did they come from? And why were they such a thorn in the side of the children of Israel? We'll briefly look at that tonight and make a little bit of application, and I trust it'll be a help and a blessing to you. If you'll look at verse 1, you will see that the Bible here tells us, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That seems to be their formula throughout the book of Judges. They would do well, and then they would get at ease, comfortable, self-satisfied with things. And then the next thing you know, they're away from God and they're worshiping idols and doing all the things they should not be doing. And so God had to bring judgment upon them. And he would use these men and in some cases women whom he calls judges. And they would judge the people, and God would then be very severe and very harsh with his people, and then they would repent and come back to the Lord, and the Lord would then bless, and they just continued this cycle. They did not catch on. They did not see what they needed to see, and so it was just blessing and then wrath and judgment and then blessing and then wrath and judgment and then bless, and it just continued on like that for a long time. Well, here in this passage, we see that they are in one of those cycles where they are doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And so here's what happened. It says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, we all understand that numbers mean something. I've taught you that over and over and over many times through the years. And 40 is the number of testing. All right, 40, the number of testing. You'll remember the Lord Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights tempted of the devil in the wilderness. The children of Israel were 40 years wandering in the wilderness. So 40 is the number of testing. And now Israel has wandered away from God, and God puts them for 40 years under the yoke of the Philistines, and that was not a good yoke to be tied up in. And of course, the Philistines were throughout the land. They dwelt mainly in the region between the Mediterranean and the mountain before you go up to Jerusalem. All right, and then from up where Tel Aviv and some of those cities are today, all the way down to Gaza, from the sea to where you start into the mountains, that was where they primarily lived, and so the Philistines were there occupying the land when the children of Israel went in under Joshua. All right, so they were in the land already, but God had promised that land to Abraham, you'll remember, not to the Philistines. So the Philistines were in the land, but it was not their land. God gave that land to the 12 tribes that became the nation of Israel. All right, so there are many, many glimpses of the Philistines that are found throughout the scriptures. There was a judge by the name of Shamgar. And you remember reading about Shamgar. And Shamgar defeated 600 Philistines with just an ox goad. Now you figure that. All right, he had the power of God on him. He stood and fought against the Philistines and slew 600 of them in one day with just an ox goad. And from the period of the judges all the way through the reign of King David, the Philistines were a constant threat and a constant thorn in the side of God's chosen people. Now, we know that they were a mighty people. We know that. You remember that when David was just a teenager, his daddy sent him to the front lines when King Saul had all of his men there, and there was a giant by the name of Goliath, and this giant was challenging the children of Israel. And when David got there, he heard this man blaspheme, and he looked around and said, "Isn't anybody going to stop him?" And they all just looked at one another like, "Are you nuts? Look how big that guy is." And his brothers started to speak, and they told him to be quiet. They said, "You're just out here to see the battle." What battle? The cowards weren't fighting. They were all standing off to the side wondering, what's going to happen next. Nobody was interested in a battle. And so they're all standing around, and David said, "This man is not going to blaspheme my Lord. I'll go fight him." And that's when David went out and stood against Goliath and took his slingshot, put what he thought was a rock in it. It ended up being a rocket, and he twirled it over his head, turned it loose, and God put the power of the Holy Spirit behind that thing. Wham! It hit Goliath in the forehead and killed him, knocked him down to his knees. And he fell, and David ran up, pulled that big old sword out of its sheath, and used that sword to cut Goliath's head off, showing and holding it up, showing the children of Israel and the Philistines that the Lord had delivered the Philistines into a teenager's hands. These men were brutal. They were a rough bunch, and they established themselves and they rooted themselves in the land that was promised to the children of Israel, not to them. And ironically, the whole region was named for them. Have you ever heard the term Palestine? Palestine? All right, that is a derivative of the word Philistine. Now, Palestine, you must understand that it was called Palestine by men. God never calls the land Palestine. Never. Why? Because it's Israel to God. That land belongs to the children of Israel. And God promised it to Abraham and to his descendants. And not one time in Scripture does God call the land Palestine. There are a group of people over there today who are the descendants of these Canaanite tribes that moved in. And they worship a false god by the name of Allah. And that Allah was at one time, back when the Philistines were running the show and in the land, occupying it illegally, but they were occupying the land, and their god was Baal. And Baal eventually, over the years, became the religion of Islam, and Baal got out of the way, and Allah took his place. All right, so these people were intruders in the land. All right, do you see that? They're intruders in the land. They do not belong there, but they're intruders in the land. The Lord never one time refers to the land as the land of Palestine. And note also that every time in your Old Testament scriptures when the Philistines are brought up in the conversation, in the story, mark it down, there's always conflict. There's always conflict. They are associated every time in the Bible with conflict, with war, with a hostile environment. And wherever their presence is seen in the Bible, there is an issue. There is a problem. You can just mark that down. So the question is, who were these people? What lessons can we glean from the things that God tells us about the Philistine people? All right, well, let me give you a couple here real quickly. First of all, I want you to understand that these Philistines were in the land. All right, they were in the land, but it was not their land. God gave it to Israel. They just went in and claimed the land, but it was not theirs. God gave it to his people, the Jews. But they went in as intruders and occupied the land and fought against the children of Israel the moment the children of Israel came into the land that would become Israel. Their name means this. Their name, the name Philistine, it means this: people who wander. People who wander. And that's exactly what they did. They just wandered in, but they had no right to be there. They just wandered into the land that God gave to the Jews, and they stayed there. There is no record anywhere in history that the Philistines had to fight for the land they occupied. There's no record of it in any journals or in any historical documents. They simply moved in and took over. Let me say it to you this way. They came in the easy way. All right? You see that? They came in the easy way. Now, contrast that with the children of Israel. Now, we all know how they came in. Man, it was tooth and claw every single day. When they came in, it was on. There was a battle at every turn. When they came in, they had to fight their way in. The Canaanites and the people that lived in those walled cities, they were not welcoming the children of Israel. And when God led the Israelites into the land, he could have led them the easy way, but he didn't do that. Now, why didn't he do that? Well, folks, you and I are supposed to read the Old Testament, and according to Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, we have all these Old Testament things as examples for us to learn. Folks, listen, the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not easy. All right, we can't just say, well, I'm going to be a Christian and all my problems are going to be gone. No, they won't. They'll just begin. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble. I've had so many people through the years that have told me, you know, I got saved and I just thought everything was going to be hunky-dory after that. And I am just shocked. Man, it just seems like I've angered the devil. Well, you have. And that's why the conflict is on. And God could have taken his children into the land, avoiding the Jordan River and avoiding the walled cities of the Dead Sea area. Oh, there was definitely an easier way into the land of Canaan than the way God led his people. But the children of Israel had to come in and go through Jordan. You say, well, why'd they have to do it that way? Again, what's it represent? What do we see? Well, Jordan, get this now, Jordan means descending. Descending. Now, those of you that have been with me to the Holy Land, we have been up to the base of Mount Hermon in Caesarea Philippi. And we have seen where the Jordan River comes out of the mountain, out of Mount Hermon. And it flows out, just trickles out from underneath the mountain. And that's the beginning of the Jordan River. And all it does, from the moment it comes out of that rock, from the moment it does, it starts down. And it is descending down to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the entire planet. So it's descending. That's all it does. And it is a picture, it is a portrayal of death all the way through the Bible. The Jordan means descending, and it always is pictured as death and resurrection in the scriptures. You see, the land of Israel down in that Jordan area where the Dead Sea is, that land is parched. I mean, it is so hot down there all the time. Jericho is like living in an oven, all right? It's just hot all the time. And so the land is parched, but every year until the people came along and started to change all that with their construction and all of their efforts to change it. But for centuries, for millennia, the Jordan flooded every year. The snow up on Mount Hermon would melt and it would just come raging down that river valley. And, you know, you think of a river, you're thinking of something, you know, wide. Well, the Jordan is not wide. in most places. It's no wider than from that pew to the end of that pew over there. I mean, it's not very wide. You might look at it and say, that's a river. Well, where I come from, that's a creek. All right. Isn't that right? Those of you that have been over there, I said to you, there's the Jordan River. Many of you said, that's it? Yeah, that's it. All right. There's not much to it. But every year, for centuries, that thing would flood. And that's what the children of Israel had to face when they got over there. When they got over to the land and were ready to cross the Jordan to go and fight for Jericho, the land was flooded. That whole area was flooded. And that's when the priest took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, and went down to the banks of the river and laid a stone down. And when they laid the stones down and brought the Ark of the Covenant over, the waters parted and everybody walked over once again, just like they had done 40 years earlier, on dry ground. All right, you see? So The whole idea is that God chose the route for them, and the way was difficult. Folks, did not our Savior say that the road is difficult? I mean, it's straight and narrow. All right, broad is the way that leads to destruction. You see a lot of folks out on the destruction highway, don't you? But the straight and narrow, well, that's a different story. And so the reason for all this is to paint us a picture. You see, folks, the sentence of death is upon us. But when we come to the Lord Jesus and trust Him as our personal Savior, we are given new life. We are new creatures in Christ. We come into the Christian life, get this now, through the death and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And that's the picture. That's the reason that God took them the way around and brought them into the land by crossing the Jordan River, showing us that the only way to legitimately be in the land, to be in Christ, is by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get in through the church. You can't get in through baptism. You can't get in through communion. The only way you get in is in the finished work of Christ. When Paul said to the Corinthian church, I declare unto you the gospel, what was he talking about? Death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. So that's what God is showing us. The Philistine saw no bondage. The Philistine saw no deliverance from Egypt, the world. They saw no sense of divine wrath for sin met by a divinely appointed sacrifice. No, they just simply slipped into the land the short way, the easy way, and they were intruders into God's heritage. Now, don't ever forget that about the Philistines. Don't ever forget that. And so when you're reading the book of Judges, or you're reading 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, and you start coming into these passages that say that this Philistine or that Philistine or the Philistines, and you read how they fought against the children of Israel, you need to realize that there is a picture there. Those people were not supposed to be in the land. They came in the wrong way. All right, you understand that picture? All right, there's. Let me give you one more real quick. One more. I think also the Philistines are a picture of the church in the last days. And we're in the last days, I believe. With all my heart, I believe we're in the last of the last days. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 7 that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now that was 2,000 years ago Paul said that. If the mystery of iniquity was working in Paul's day, don't you think that mystery is working today? Oh my, it sure is. You say, well, Pastor, what's the mystery of iniquity? Well, there is a mystery of godliness. All right? A mystery of godliness. We know all about that. How that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, and then sent the Holy Spirit to convince us of sin. I mean, there is a mystery of godliness, but there is also a mystery of iniquity. And that mystery of iniquity is that spirit of Antichrist that is at work right now, where the devil is preparing people to stand against the truth. I mean, just go against God at every turn. We're seeing it everywhere we look. And we understand that that mystery of iniquity is going to reach its pinnacle when the Lord Jesus comes, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are raised, and then those of us that are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that is when that mystery of iniquity is going to go full bore. And the Antichrist is going to convince the world that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. Now, this all started way back in the book of Genesis, and it's just been progressing. And now, folks, we are living in an age where we can see it everywhere we look. Paul said there, as I said to you this morning, there is this, before the Lord comes, there will be this falling away first. That's what we're seeing today. The falling away. I mean, it's as obvious as the nose on your face. And Paul said that this mystery of iniquity is already at work. And as this mystery is at work, then we're going to just see it get worse and worse and worse. Folks, the world is not evolving into a higher plane. Now, that's what the world would have us believe. The world would have us believe that we're all getting better. The charismatics are all, their doctrine is that we're all headed towards the millennium. And we have to go through all kinds of trial and tribulation and the wrath and the judgment of the tribulation period. And then we're going to be in the millennium and everything is then going to be hunky-dory. Well, it's all going to be hunky-dory, but we get taken out before that wrath and judgment comes. And I'm glad we do. I don't want to put up with that, do you? I don't want stuff falling out of the sky and great big locusts as big as a tiger or big as a lion coming and stinging me. I don't want that. No, I'm looking forward to going to heaven before all that happens. All right, but now let's just think about these Philistines. Let's get back to the thought. The Philistines are not supposed to be in the land. And because Israel did not completely destroy them from out of the land, Israel suffered. Now, you'll remember God told Moses, and then he told Joshua, when you go into the land, you slay utterly. You kill all the Canaanites, of which the Philistines were Canaanites. And he said, you slay them all. And they didn't do it. And that became their demise. because over time they tolerated the Philistines and their gods, and they tolerated all the rest of the Canaanites and their gods. And the next thing you know, the children of Israel are abandoning the God that brought them into the land, and they are worshiping the gods of the Philistines and the Canaanites. And that was their demise. That's why God brought judgment upon them. That's why for 700 years they were out of power in the land, and the Greeks ran the land, and the Babylonians ran the land, and the Romans ran it, and children of Israel, they were slaves, they were servants, brutally treated by their occupiers. But that's what happens, folks, when you yield to the world. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't want the world in my church. I don't want that. I'm not going to invite the world into our church. Not going to have it. As long as God gives me breath, and as long as God gives me a voice, my voice is going to stand against this Philistine mentality that our world lives in today. I'm not going to get up here one Sunday morning and read out of a Philistine Bible. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get up here and say, well, folks, listen, things are going to be a little different this morning. I've asked Pastor Brian to get the choir to sing this song this morning. And then all of you sit out there and look at me like I've lost my mind. Well, if that ever happens, trust me, I've lost my mind. Because that's not going to happen. But you see, that's what the world tries to do. That's what the world tries to do. That's what the devil tries to do. Just loosen your standards. Just let up a little bit. Just back off a little bit. And when you back off a little bit, the devil comes in and takes a whole lot. And so we got to stand against that. You say, but Pastor, everybody is going contemporary. Well, let them go. But I'm not. Well, Pastor, everybody's changing Bibles. Not me. Amen. Not me. Brother Felix, you don't memorize out of the New American Standard, do you? No, sir. You don't memorize out of the NIV, do you? No. You know why? Because you'd be quoting Scripture. We'd all be sitting out here going, does anybody recognize what he's saying? Oh, by the way, he just left out three verses. Yeah, out of the King James, but not out of the NIV. Right. It wouldn't be out of the NIV. Oh, they take those verses out. Oh, by the way, so does the New American Standard, and so does the TEV and all the rest of them. You say, well, Pastor, this is 2022. I know what year it is. I know what year it is. But we're not going to compromise. Amen. We're just not going to do it. I pray you are, my friend. You got to stand with me or we'll all go down together. So the Philistine, they no, sir. No, sir. We're not going to compromise. And that's what the children of Israel did. They said, oh, we're interested. Tell us about your God. And next thing you know, here goes everybody over to the Philistine altar instead of going to Jerusalem to God's altar. You better be careful where you make your alliances. Be careful. Because the next thing you know, the devil's got you right where he wants you. Now, folks, let's realize that the Lord has a book, and we're to follow that book. Let's realize that there are pictures in this Old Testament, and we can read these pictures, we can see these things and think them through, and then realize and recognize, oh, wait a minute, that's a picture of the last days here, and learn from it. Learn from it. Solomon, man, that's when the nation just took a nosedive. You know why? Because he married all those heathen women. Now, can you imagine Solomon? I mean, this is the guy that preached the message during the dedication of the new temple. And then as time progressed, he married this one, then he married that one, and he married another one, then another one. Good grief. He had 1,000 women that called him hubby. That's 1,000 mother-in-laws. Think about that. Now, let me ask you something, folks. When the Easter program came around, or whatever holiday the Baal worshipers had, don't you think little Solomon Jr. and Solomon the Third and the Fourth and probably the 20th, they all came to Daddy and said, Daddy, would you please come and watch our program today? Please, Daddy, everybody else's dad's going to be there. Laid the old guilt trip on Solomon. And it didn't take long before Solomon's heart wandered away from God. Now, folks, if it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to you. So let's guard ourselves. Don't let the Philistines in the front door. If you never let them in, you don't have to throw them out. Now, that'll preach right there. If you don't ever let them in, then you don't have to worry about getting rid of them. Because, boy, once they're in, they're hard to get rid of. So hard to get rid of. You know, when when Dr. Smith left here, this church could have called somebody who would have led the church in another direction, and we wouldn't have anything here today. You know that? You know, a couple of these fellows that were real interested in taking the church, they're not even in the ministry today. They're not even in the ministry because they went the wrong direction. Folks, we got to keep it on the up and up. Got to keep it on the straight and narrow. Got to keep it upon the truth. Got to keep it upon the Bible. We've got to. And those were the Philistines. They were in a land that was not theirs. I just don't want any Philistines coming in. It's not their church. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Thank you so much for what we can learn from your word and how we can apply the word of God to make application to our present day. And Father in heaven, I pray that you will take the message tonight and just dig it into our hearts. And Father, help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. I pray that you'll help each and every one of us to make up our minds that we're just going to stick with the stuff. What brought us is what will keep us. And so, Father, help us to make up our minds what we're going to do and live for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.